Last week, a group of local Texas environmental activists and their supporters from around the country began a nonviolent direct action protest to stop construction of the 435-mile southern leg of the Keystone XL pipeline, which is scheduled to be built between Cushing, Oklahoma, and Port Arthur, Texas. The pipeline is being built to bring tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, to refineries on the Gulf Coast. Some protesters have been arrested, while others are maintaining a tree set on the property where construction has begun. The Keystone Pipeline is organized into a four-phase project. The first two phases were completed a few years ago. The company constructing the pipeline, TransCanada, hoped to build Phase 3, the portion from Texas to Oklahoma, and then move on to build Phase 4, the pipeline that will extend into Canada. The Obama administration delayed approval of Phase 4, pending further environmental review. That was in response to one of the largest environment-themed protest campaigns in many years that included the arrest of more than 1,200 persons in a series of nonviolent civil disobedience actions in front of the White House just over a year ago. That protest was followed by a November action where some 10,000 activists surrounded the White House in order to persuade Obama to put a hold on the project. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Ron Seifert, a spokesperson with the Tar Sands Blockade Coalition, who talks about support for and opposition to the pipeline project in Texas and the latest news on the protest actions there.
One of the primary concerns we face from East Texans and, well, Texans in general, is how this pipeline will affect their limited water supply. We all know Texas is a drought-stricken region, although East Texas tends to be a little greener and have a little bit more water than most of the state. It's not the typical desert western environment that we're used to seeing in the cowboy movies. Nonetheless, this pipeline will cross all the major water sources for the big metro areas in Texas. People don't necessarily know that this product, tar sands, is not crude oil. It's a different substance. It's a synthetic slurry. Tar sands is solid in its natural state, so it has to be boiled and diluted with chemicals, gas condensates, and all sorts of nasty, carcinogenic, toxic chemicals. And additionally, it's pumped at very high pressure, at over roughly 1,200 psi, 50% higher pressure than a conventional pipeline. So you have this melted, liquefied sandpaper mixed with toxic chemicals that's being blasted at high pressures through a steel pipe. It's a recipe for disaster. So clean water, and not to mention the arable soil in East Texas, are certainly parts of our commons and our environment that Texans hold near and dear, not only because of what it means to them as farmers and ranchers and landowners in the area, but what it means for their collective communities and their future overall.
Ron Seifert, in terms of jobs, you know, in terms of energy security, importing, where this would be importing energy from Canada rather than from the Middle East, has the project generated much support among the local population? I guess what I'm asking is, are the protesters out of the mainstream, or are locals behind it as well?
Well, there's an interesting conflict of traditionally conservative values that exist around this pipeline battle. Yes, it is the case that in Texas and Oklahoma, there's a lot of support from the ground up for the oil and gas industry and this value of unfettered energy expansion. But there's this also strong traditional conservative value of land rights and property ownership. And now these values are at conflict because of the pipeline. So what have traditionally been strongly protected, constitutionally protected, in fact, land rights, are being trampled in the interest of energy expansion. So when it comes down to it, when local community folks, small-town, everyday people that traditionally do support oil and gas have to choose between their own homes and their own ranches and the oil and gas industry, especially at the multinational level, that's not bringing any local support to their economy. You find a lot of folks think this idea of using eminent domain to bolster and increase private gains for private corporations is unacceptable. So from a land rights point of view, you have a lot of folks turning away from this project and supporting eminent domain reform, taking a stand against the idea that a foreign corporation can seize American property for its own private gain and that the government is going to be complicit in that transaction. It's really unconscionable, and it's offensive to a lot of folks around here. So we do have this kind of unique alliance where you have environmentalists and climate activists coming at this from one angle, and conservatives, some folks that are with more affiliate with the Tea Party politics, feeling that the idea that big government or big corporate multinational industry having these powers, having these tools of eminent domain is unacceptable, that it's a freedom that we're entitled as Americans, the right to our properties, and that they should not be imperiled with such nonchalance.
Can you just please summarize what's been happening with the protest on the ground?
So the tar sands blockade is a rolling, nonviolent civil disobedience campaign. And on multiple occasions, individual blockaders have put themselves in the way of construction to literally stop the Keystone XL pipeline line from being built. That's been met with different levels of police response from, in one occasion, the police simply doing nothing and washing their hands of it and walking away and leaving the blockaders to hold the construction site. To the worst case, police brutalizing blockaders, choking them, putting them in stress positions, tasing them, pepper spraying them, virtually torturing them. What's going on now and has been going on for the last week is our aerial tree blockade. It's a tree village and a timber wall that have been constructed spanning over 500 feet of the proposed pipeline route, tying in more than a dozen old growth trees. Nine different blockaders are sitting in trees or along a catwalk of this timber wall, freestanding wall of wood that was constructed in the middle of the forest. And those folks have dug in. They have ample food and supplies for weeks, and they're willing to do whatever they can to stay as long as it takes to stop the pipeline and raise enough awareness to encourage folks not only to come and join them in Texas, but to send the message that resistance is possible.
That was Ron Seifert, a spokesperson with the group Tar Sands Blockade in Texas. Find more information on the campaign to stop the Keystone XL pipeline by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.